Good evening. I'd like to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46. This passage over the last few years has become one of my favorite passages. Our brother mentioned it, Brother Ron mentioned it in his prayer. But Isaiah 46, and we'll begin our reading in verse 5. Isaiah 46 and verse 5. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. They prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. They bear it on the shoulder. They carry it and set it in its place, and it stands. From its place it shall not move. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves, men. Recall to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east, and a man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. I had the privilege of speaking on this topic this past Sunday, and now it's going to be interesting taking a 45-minute message and condensing it to 15, but I decided I would start at the beginning, and in 15 minutes I will stop. So that's wherever it happens to be. But this, like I said, this has become one of my more favorite passages in the Bible. God speaks to mankind in many different ways to get their attention, to show that there is a God and that we are accountable to that God and that there is only one true God. I believe, looking through scriptures, we see there's several ways. One is through creation itself. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows its handiwork. In Romans, he says that what may be known of God is even his attributes are clearly seen in creation. So that man is without excuse. So we see through creation we can learn a lot about God, even without the written word of scripture. God also works in the hearts of man through their conscience, convicting men of sin. No matter how much people may deny God, the staunchest atheist in the world still has a conscience to deal with that convicts him of right and wrong, as the Spirit striving with mankind. So he speaks to him one-on-one through his Spirit. Through his Word, it shows us here that another way he validates, I think, himself, that say, this is my word, and I am who I say I am, is through the written word of God, but it's through prophecy, through that God says, I'm going to tell you the end from the beginning. I got the whole history, the part that's already been done, and the part that's going to be done. I can tell you it all. I declare the end from the beginning. Now, that's quite a statement when we get right down to it. The point of this passage is that just because you put your mind to something or say you're going to do something, these people made themselves gods, doesn't mean it's a god. He said, look, this is how I'm going to prove that I am the one and true God. I'm going to tell you the end from the beginning. Now, it's one thing for me to say, I'm going to purpose to do something, I'm going to declare this, and this is going to happen, right? I mean, even this meeting itself, the elders purposed it, they have said it. Harvey said Stephen Batts will be giving a devotion a few weeks ago, he asked me about it, and lo and behold, here I am, right? Giving the devotion for it, and we have purposed it, and we have brought it to pass. Okay, that's a pretty simple thing to plan a few weeks into the future, right? That's not very hard. It's quite another thing to say what's going to happen 5 years from now. We do make predictions and forecasts, right? Businesses do that. And that's what, when men do it, that's called a prediction, right? A forecast. Prophecy is not the same thing as a prediction, is it? Prophecy is God saying, this, telling men, this is what I'm going to do. And then making it happen. Those, the very big difference. Now, it's one thing to do it 1 year, 2 years, 5 years out in advance, even. But let's say 20 years. That's a little harder for a man to do. Let's say 100 years, 500 years, or let's back up a little bit, 483 years in advance. In some cases, we know a very specific prophecy in the Bible that came true exactly 483 years later to the day. That is quite another thing, isn't it? To say, this is what's going to happen lifetimes later, several lifetimes later, and it comes through. We see in the Bible, 2,000 years later, some prophecies are now coming to fruition in our lifetime. And I think I really get excited when I think about these things and when I look at this passage, because when Christ came, we are told in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. At the fullness of time, at the precise moment in history, at the precise time, God sent us forth His Son. Then we look back at the prophecies that fell at that certain time period, and we see that Christ hit every one of them. And when it was coming that time, it was the right time. In other words, conditions were right for His coming. Was He going to be born in Bethlehem and all these type of things, but when we see all those things that came, it was the condition of the world. For instance, we knew His hands and His feet would be pierced at His death, right? That form of punishment, crucifixion, wasn't around when that was written, that form of prophecy. So when you look at today, the prophecies that the conditions are starting to happen in our time, in our day and age, we say, wow, that fullness of the end times is starting to happen. And it gets me really excited when I start to think about these things. See, God, He can do all these things to make, for me, the ability to bring about something that I desire can only go so far. They will tell you in this world that, if you put your mind to it, if you really think hard enough and try and give it your all, and you put your mind and believe in yourself. You hear that a lot. If you believe in yourself, you can accomplish anything. That's not entirely true. There's some things I just cannot accomplish. No matter how I try, I can't just walk right through that wall right there, right? There's some things that I just physically cannot do. There's limitations. God, on the other hand, says, I have purposed it, I will do it. How's that? I have purposed it, I will do it. And then really, that's what the point of this is. He's comparing it to these people that made idols. I think it's kind of humorous the way the passage, this verse 5 is. Who will you liken me? To these gods that you made? He says, you collect all this gold, all this silver. You take it, you're doing it, taking it over to a goldsmith. He melts it down and makes a statue out of it. And then you pick it up, carry it, bear it on your shoulders, and set it in a place and say, oh, you are a god. You are something that you made yourself. He said, but when you're in trouble, when you have heartbreak and you call out, does it answer you? No. It can't. It's still sitting on that table you left it on. Me, on the other hand, God's saying here, I can hear, that's the implication. I hear your prayers. I can move around. I'm omnipotent, all-powerful. I'm omniscient, I'm all-knowing. And I'm omnipresent. I'm everywhere. I can hear your cries, and I can do something about it. I think that's really what the passage is about. This is what He's saying. Do you think that's a God? Let me show you what it means to be God. And we look at the prophecies, just in the ones that we can verify right now that were fulfilled in Christ, say, it's staggering, isn't it? And He also says that I will declare the end from the beginning. The Bible is still considered by archaeologists one of the best sources to know what to look for and what things are when they dig and find things. A big chunk of their reference material comes from Scripture. Some of them don't like to admit that. They're probably digging, tried to disprove Scripture, and they end up confirming it. He says, I will declare the end from the beginning. And where we are in history, we can see several things that are verified. Obviously, he tells us how the world was created, but we see the fulfilled prophecy in Christ that was fulfilled in Christ, and it validates the Bible. All of that validates the Bible. And that's really what key. You know, you have people that will try to predict a future. Jabe Nicholson related a story one time. He said, I think he was at a fair or carnival or something like that, and a psychic was trying to sell their wares and trying to get them to come in their booth. Says, I will tell you your future for $5. He says, I'll give you $10 if you could tell me what I had for lunch yesterday. That's verifiable, isn't it, right? You know, it's one thing to speak in these generalities, and like you get those fortune cookies, you know, and, well, yeah, they're always right because they're so vague and so general, and, you know, they're not really telling you anything. And these psychics, that's really all they're doing. And if they have any power, it's not the power I want to deal with, right? I want the power from God. So, God, on the other hand, he does both. He tells the beginning because he was there, and he's going to tell the end, and he's going to make it happen. He's going to make it happen. We know through Scripture where Jesus was going to be born, and then he was born there. We knew throughout the Old Testament, we see it building. He first said, you know, told Adam and Eve that there one day will come a Redeemer, and then he told Abraham it's going to be through your seed, and through Jacob, and on down, the tribe of Judah, David, it was going to be his kingly line. But then we see somewhat of an issue where David's kingly line, one line of it was cursed, and no king of Israel would sit on that throne. How is this still going to happen? Well, we know when we get over to Christ, God covers all his bases, doesn't he? We see that the genealogy is listed twice. Once in Matthew, the king, and that royal line that continued on, we find it listed out and ends with Joseph. And then, when you read the genealogy in Luke, you see Mary's line, and it comes through, branches out through another descendant of Solomon, and comes up not cursed. And Jesus comes through that line, and he's born of a woman. And so we see even his adopted father is heir to the kingly earthly throne. We see his mother is still of the line of David, perfectly fulfilling the prophecy. God does it. He purposes it. He will do it. A number of years ago, two statisticians, Peter Stoner and Robert Newman, wrote a book called The Science Speaks, and it's based on science of probability and cause, and was vouched for by the American Scientific Affiliation. It set the odds of any one man fulfilling just 8 of the prophecies that were foretold by Jesus. 8 out of the 60 with the 270 ramifications, but just pick 8 of them. 8 of them that you could easily verify or, you know, plug in. Not like virgin birth, okay, how could you put an odd on that? But, you know, where he would be born and things like that. Just 8 simple prophecies that one person could fulfill 8 of those is 1 in 10 to the 17th. Now, if your math is a little fuzzy, you know, I'll get Derek. He just finished his Calc 3 class, so he can probably tell us all about it. But when you see that power, 17th power, that's how many zeros you add to the end if you've forgotten that. So it's 1 in 10, 1 in 1 with 0000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 if you fill up the state of Texas with silver dollars. I don't know if it's the Susan B. Anthony's or what, but we'll say the big ones, okay? Fill up the state of Texas with silver dollars, knee deep. And it would take Dave here, and we'll blindfold him. let him wander around the state for as long as he wants to. And he, when he reaches down and picks up one silver dollar, he's going to pick up the one that we marked ahead of time. Okay, that's pretty long shot, isn't it, right? And that's just eight of those prophecies. So we see that God says, this is how I say I am God. I declare the end from the beginning. I've said it. I have purpose to do it. That's how he proves he is God to us. He said, maybe this verse came to mind when I think of this. When Jesus, and we'll close with this, when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious rulers came to him, what did they say? They said, tell you these people to stop. They, you know, they're saying you're the king of the Jews. You're the coming prince. You need to tell them to stop. What did Jesus reply? He says, if they're quiet, even the rocks will cry out. Now, what is the most inanimate, dead object in the world? A rock, right? He's as dumb as a rock. You know, we say, that's the most inanimate object we can think of. And Jesus said, if the people are silent, something will cry out. Even if it's the very dirt, the rocks that you're walking on, they will scream out and say that he is king, he is the Messiah, he is the prince. Why? God said it was going to be. It had to be. He says, I have purposed it. I also will do it. That's what kind of God we serve. That's how we know he is God. So if I ever have any doubts, if I ever wonder, is what I believe really, really true? If I ever had that creep into my mind, I think about this passage. And God says, you want to know it's me? That Christianity is the only religion that's true? I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, and then I'm going to make it happen against all odds. If I ever have any doubt that this is the Word of God, if someone comes to you and says, oh, the Bible, that's just a book of myths, right? I mean, they've disproved that book long ago. Not so fast. It's true. And the prophecies that are coming true today, written thousands of years ahead of time, God says, I have purposed it. I will do it. Count on it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word, for all that it means to us. Father, we thank that we can count on your word, that it tells us about the great God in heaven and his marvelous plan of salvation for men, and how he purposed this salvation, and he has brought it to pass. And Father, that there's a coming day where he will come again for his own, to bring them back to himself. We just thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.